The Amateur Hour podcast mock draft continues. I'm Brian Gibberman here with Sam Vecini. For the number 9th pick in the first round, we are joined by Jared Dubin, who has no connection to the Hornets, but we just wanted to bring him on, so we're going to do that. Jared, what's up?
Well, actually, I do have a flimsy connection to the Hornets. My cousins are from Charlotte and are Hornets fans. So there's my connection.
Okay, we'll use that. All right.
I mean, we work with Will Brinson, who...
who also lives in Charlotte.
Yeah.
And so, my cousin actually worked for the Hornets at the time, too. So there's another one.
So, yeah, we're great, Jared. We're golden. We have an expert on this time.
I forgot it. The CBS Sports Party here now. All right,
I have a bigger connection to the Bobcats than the Hornets.
This is true. We'll just call them the Bobnets, this podcast.
All right, I want to throw out a non-Hornets Bobcats question here. The NFL has recently changed their draft to where they did free agency before the draft rather than the draft before free agency. Do you think the NBA would be better off doing the same thing, or do you like it how it is?
I like it how it is because I think it saves the owners from doing stupid shit from time to time.
Yeah, and I think that if you did it the other way, you would see more teams drafting for need over just this is the guy we think is going to be the best, and that would lead to more mistakes.
Also true.
Okay, so it wasn't all that interesting of a conversation. So we could just throw that out to the side.
We're
done with that, and we can move on to the Hornets.
Why?
Yeah, I'd be interested to hear.
You guys were both talking over each other there, so I had no idea what either of you said.
Interested to hear your side of why you think it's a proposal worth looking into.
Oh, I was just curious on other... the NFL had done it recently. I was just throwing it out there as a question. I don't really have an opinion on it.
I mean, I don't have a strong opinion on it. I'll say that. If it happened the other way, I wouldn't think twice. But right now, I think it's fine as the way it is. I think that, like Jared said, it would lead to more mistakes in the draft. I don't think it'd be like a 1990s situation where you'd be taking these crazy-ass international guys, but maybe it would be. Maybe if free agency came first, you would have roster spots filling up faster, and it would lead to more draft and stashes. That would be interesting to me, at least. But, yeah, I think that it's fine the way it is.
The reason I brought up the question was because the Hornets are kind of in a weird situation. You got Al Jefferson, who has a player option. You got Gerald Henderson, who has a player option. So maybe stuff that happens with them could impact what they do in the draft. Like, if you think Al Jefferson's going to be a part of your team long-term, it kind of changes how you build your team versus if he's not because of the type of player he is and how difficult he's kind of difficult to build a team around.
Well, I'm not sure that you're considering him a long-term piece as it is, right, Jared?
Yeah, I mean, he has the option to become a free agent this summer, right, as far as I'm remembering?
Yes.
Yeah.
He has a player option. He's also 30 years old.
Yep.
He suffered, two different injuries this year that, I wouldn't say made him a completely different player, but they certainly affected his output. And, a big man with knee injuries is never something that's going to, go well in the long run. Plus, again, he's 30. So I think that while you do want to consider him in your team building, there's also an element of you have to look beyond him in terms of the draft as well.
Yeah, lowest effective field goal percentage of his career this year, lowest rebounding percentage of his career this year, lowest free throw rate of his career this season. I think it's tough to say that he is a major piece of their future, regardless of the fact that he is still a very good player. It's pretty clear to me at this point that he is on the downslope, despite that terrific first year in Charlotte.
So we have two guys on this team who I think would be considered pieces of their future, Kemba Walker and Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. And I think that also makes it a difficult situation. Like, yes, you always want to do best available player, but you also want to at least try and start to piece together a core that can grow together and make sense to have the team take a step forward. And neither of those guys are great shooters. So I think more than any team in the league that this team probably needs outside shooting more than any other roster.
I would agree with that, but you got to remember they drafted PJ Harrison last year, who, you know, the main draw of Harrison is that he's a knockdown outside shooter. They also got Troy Daniels in a trade this year, although I think that he might be coming off the books this summer. You don't know what's going to happen with Gerald Henderson, and I think that if Henderson leaves, that sort of frees up plan time for a shooter next to Kidd-Gilchrist. But it's interesting because they did draft Harrison for that role last year, and to then draft someone at the same position with the same skills would be an interesting move.
They do have Daniels for one more year after this season locked in, guaranteed, and then he's a restricted free agent after next season. So they got Daniels one more year after this year. Yeah, this roster's kind of a mess. I mean, when you look at it, it's really a mess.
Yeah, one of the best player fits to me in this draft would have been, and I would almost advocate trying to sell the farm for this, except the two guys that would be playing next to him, would be D'Angelo Russell here. He would be the absolute premier perfect fit for any situation. Like, if you could put him into the Charlotte organization right now, that would be the exact thing that they need, and he would be a perfect fit for exactly what they need, and they would help him a lot too, because Michael Kidd-Gilchrist could take some pressure off of him as far as the defense on the wing. It just kind of stinks that they ended up not rising up in the draft. It kind of stinks that they ended up being in that kind of middle range where they were in no man's land this year, because Russell would just be such a perfect fit here. Regardless, though, I don't think that they can really afford to give up a lot of pieces because, like you said, this is a roster that is very just bereft of talent. Like, there's not a lot here that I like.
Well, it's interesting, too, because in the front court, you know, beyond Al, they have such a weird mix of players. You know, they signed Marvin Williams last year to be sort of like their stretch power forward. That didn't exactly work all that well. And then, you know, their last two draft picks near the top of the draft were both big men also, with Cody Zeller and Noah Vonleh. Zeller, I thought, gave them really interesting minutes as sort of an athletic big man. That was the way that I found him most effective, just out-athleting guys on the other team, which is really interesting. And then he also showed a little bit of a face-up game out to, 10, 15 feet or so. So I think he could develop into a pretty good player. Vonleh, though, was sort of like a lost season. He got hurt and just didn't play all that much. I'm not sure what their front court plan is either. It's a very jumbled roster beyond knowing that Kidd-Gilchrist is one of the better wing defenders in the league. And, you know, since they just gave him a big contract, that Kemba Walker is presumably going to be their point guard for the foreseeable future. You know, even in the backcourt with a guy like Lance, who they gave a significant amount of money to, by the end of the season, his role was, you know, not but wasn't doing much anymore. His playing time had significantly decreased. He wasn't doing a lot of the same ball handling stuff that he was doing at the beginning of the year. It's a very, very jumbled situation. And I think that both opens them up to go in any number of different directions, also confuses things a bit, because this pick will tell you a lot about the direction they think they're going.
Yeah, with the way their season went last year, you kind of wish they would have could have seen a little bit more out of what Vonleh and Hairston have, because for both of them, this next season is basically going to be like a rookie year again. It's just going to be throwing them into the fire, and you would hope they actually give them a chance to start developing in actual NBA action. Obviously, they're doing work with them in practice to grow their games and stuff like that, but you want to see what they have in live action, that, with games that matter versus practice court time. And we really didn't get to see that last year with either of them.
Right, yeah, no, I agree. I've never been the biggest Vonleh fan, actually. I don't think he has particularly strong functional athleticism. Like, if you look at his numbers, he's not a very good leaper. That kind of stuff shows up in his game. He's not an explosive athlete. I don't think he moves well laterally. He's just a very awkward player when I watch him. But he has a decent skill set that he can shoot. So I don't know what to do with him. Like I said, I was never real high on him. I think that was kind of a mistake pick for them. And Zeller, to an extent, was also a bit of a mistake pick, even though, like Jared said, I agree. I think that Zeller was pretty good last year. It's just hard for me to figure out a way that he fits beyond just like being a solid role player. So right now, I don't know what to do with that front court. I agree. Plus, you have Mizbak Miyombo, who, isn't useless as a defensive player. Like, he's an okay rim protector, functionally athletic, where he can defend on the perimeter a little bit. So they're in a very, very weird spot in their front court. Plus, you throw in the Al Jefferson wrench. I have no idea what to do with them.
So, Jared, who are you putting in the mix with the pick here? What guys are you targeting? Who do you have on your list with who's available?
Who were the top eight guys that went before this pick? I had it pulled up.
I got it for you. Towns, Okafor, Hezonja, Russell, Winslow, Cauley-Stein, Moutier,
there are a few different guys that I think would be interesting fits, a bunch of them for different reasons than others. Just go ahead and list them.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so Stanley Johnson, Devin Booker, Miles Turner, Frank Kaminsky, and Trey Lyles. I think all would be interesting bits for one reason or another.
If you're yelling out Trey Lyles, where is Bobby Portis?
I was waiting. I knew that was
coming.
Oh,
I was going to say Bobby Portis too.
Where is he?
I do like Bobby Portis a lot.
I will defend Bobby Portis's honor in every podcast that we do from here until
you get
number 18.
Sam, I think you and I are the biggest Bobby Portis fans.
Yeah, I'm a big, I agree with you, Jared. Bobby Portis makes sense here.
Go in so many different directions, and whichever way you go sort of decides, it kickstarts other moves that will probably have to be made. I think that this is a team that's a really good candidate to make a trade at some point, not necessarily in the draft, but this summer, just because whoever they draft is going to have two or three other guys that play the same position as him on the team that are young also.
So my idea here is, I think they're a very good candidate. I agree to trade. I think they either want to trade up and try and get that star. I don't really know what kind of ammo they would have to do that. I feel like they would almost have to throw in their next year pick to do so, and I'm not sure that's something they should feel comfortable doing. Or they should trade down and try and give themselves more chances to land that guy that they need. Because I don't love what's on the board for them as far as picking up a potential all-star here.
Right. I think, shooting again is a big need, but I think it might do better to get themselves a stretchy front court guy that they tried to get with Marvin Williams. And I'm just not sure who that would be at this point. If they move down and got someone like the kid from UNLV.
Christian Wood.
Right. Who's supposed to have, like, his jumper wasn't that great in college in terms of his three-point percentage, but
it's not broken.
It looks
good. Yeah. It's not a broken jump shot. It's inconsistent right now, and it's something that can be worked with, I would say.
Right, but if they were to get him, like, late in the first round at some point, I feel like that would make sense for that role they tried to shoehorn Marvin into. And at this point, you're talking about, like, if you take Stanley Johnson, then that's, like, shoehorning him into sort of a small ball four role, which I think might not be for him.
I think he would actually be very good at that, just given his physicality. His size and length is good enough to do that. Like, he's about the same size as Harrison Barnes was, just a little bit thicker and stronger, coming out of college, at least. So I think that he could make that work, and I think he could be very successful at doing that. I'm not sure that this team is the best fit for that. I think that if you had him doing that in Detroit, it would look better for him just because he'd be next to Andre Drummond. He'd be, you know, hopefully next to some shooters, given what Stan Van Gundy will probably want to bring in there. If you do that with him in Charlotte, though, he's more of a slashing small ball four right now than a guy that you're going to trust to knock down spot-up threes and space the floor that way. So that's not a great fit for what Charlotte has right now. So if you'd be taking him, I almost feel like you would be taking him and playing him next to Kid Gilchrist on the wing and still trying to find that fit as a small ball or as a four. Basically, you might be playing Cody Zeller at four next year, next to him and Kid Gilchrist, and I don't know that I like that. And that comes from someone that has Stanley Johnson in his mock draft going to Charlotte right now.
I have two angles I want to bring up here. Let's first go with best available, and as you guys both smartly pointed out at the beginning of the podcast, even if either Al Jefferson picks up his option and stays, or they re-sign him, at most, you're probably looking at 3 years of him being the centerpiece of this team. I think it kind of makes sense for them to just go with the guy with the highest upside out of everyone we listed and pick Miles Turner and have him either develop behind Al Jefferson or you throw him into the fire right away if Big Al's gone. What do you guys think of that concept?
Yeah, I mean, that's what put him on the list of guys I'd consider. Essentially, he would, you know, back up Al for next, if presuming that he is, you know, the next 2-3 years, and then eventually take over as, you know, the starting center there. That would allow him time to both refine himself offensively and get drilled in, you know, Steve Clifford's defense, which, you know, as one of the big guys there would be a big role for him in that guy that's sort of hanging back, corralling pick and rolls. It's something that, you know, as a rookie, I think Zeller struggled with. I think he got a little bit better at it last year. And if they were able to have two guys doing that, obviously that would be, you know, very advantageous for their defense.
Yeah, I agree. I think Turner would be a pretty good fit here as well. If they want to compete, I don't know how close they are with their organizational situation as far as wanting to compete next year, because I don't think Turner is going to necessarily help a team a lot next year. If you look at his splits were a little bit rough whenever he went up against better competition this year as opposed to weaker competition this year, even for a freshman, even for a collegiate player. So that's a little bit interesting, but, you know, he is the biggest upside guy, and he is that potential star. I'm not the biggest fan of his necessarily. I mean, I like him well enough. I just don't know that he has the functional lateral athleticism. Again, I think that that would be a worry next to Noah Vonleh in a lot of ways if you took him. It's a decent fit next to Cody Zeller. I like that. But, again, you just wasted two of your last picks. Not really wasted, but you just used two of your last picks on the front court. And you have to hope that those guys develop to really be going anywhere in the right direction to begin with. So they're just in a very weird situation.
All right, so the second angle I wanted to bring up is you guys also brought up the idea of trading up. I think their vehicle to trade up is probably a team who's looking for an elite wing defender and would want Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. Is that something you would be willing to do to get maybe get a more well-rounded offensive player to put on this Hornets roster?
For me, it would depend on how high that they were able to go. Like, if they're able to go up to 3, like, and make a deal with the 76ers, that would be intriguing to me.
What player? How about
just
this?
Hypothetically, like, I'm just speaking, like I said, hypothetically here, I don't know if that's something the 76ers would be interested in. I actually don't think it would be. But, like, if they were able to get that high, and again, they were able to get, like, a D'Angelo Russell, that would be intriguing to me, but it's tough for me again because I really like Michael Kidd-Gilchrist and I really like him in that situation.
So do I. Let's forget a spot that they would specifically have to trade up for because there's so much flux in that 1-7 range that it could fall out so many different ways. What player would have to be available for you to consider going and doing that?
It would almost have to be Russell because I feel like it would be a struggle to play Emmanuel Mudiay next to Kemba just because of how much they both like the ball and that Kemba's not really an elite shooter. He's an okay shooter, not a great shooter, though. Not a guy that you want to trust in spot-up situations next to Mudiay. So I would say that D'Angelo Russell would probably have to be there for me.
Jared, I'm assuming you would do it for Russell also, because I know you really love his game. Would you consider it for maybe Hezonja or Winslow, who are a little bit more well-rounded than Michael Kidd-Gilchrist is?
Yeah, I don't think that I would sacrifice Kidd-Gilchrist to move up 4 or 5 spots.
Okay.
It's tough for me, too. I think the best
scenario for them might just be Winslow somehow falling to 9. I don't think that's going to happen, but I feel like that would be sort of perfect, and they'd get, you know, themselves help at basically any of 3 positions and fill in a lot of different skill sets, and that's the direction they can go with the rest of the roster. I don't think that's going to happen, though. But to answer your actual question, no, I don't think I would move up for any of the other guys.
So just Russell?
Yeah, and even then, I don't think I would do it if I had to sacrifice Kidd-Gilchrist.
Okay. Yeah, I love Kidd-Gilchrist's game, too. I'm not saying I would. I just think if they were going to do something like that, that would probably be the piece they would have to use to do it.
Yeah, and again, for me, here's the thing. This is a team that needs assets, that needs tangible assets, and trading 2 for 1 doesn't strike me as a great use of that. I don't know how sold I am on that, even as much as I like D'Angelo Russell's fit here. Like, to me, the better option instead of trading up would be trading down. Like, if you could do a move with the Celtics, because the Celtics, I mentioned this in the last podcast with Detroit, if you could do 16, 27, 34 for 9, that at least interests me a little bit. I don't know that it's enough to want to give up on Miles Turner or Stanley Johnson, but it's at least intriguing because then you could take a guy, like you could hope that Devin Booker falls, or you could just take RJ Hunter at 16. At 27, you would have, or 28, I guess, not 27, you would have a few options to just go out and get another decent, high upside guy. Maybe you could take a risk on a Robert Upshaw at that point if you really wanted to. You could take a risk on a Rashad Vaughn or a Chris McCullough and just see if you can hit the lottery, basically. That intrigues me a little bit more than moving up and giving up an extra asset.
Seth, one thing we haven't really talked about, what do you think of just taking Booker there? I feel like if you were to say, what's the one thing they need more than anything else? It's shooting. And in terms of, you know, a sharpshooter near the top of the draft, it would be hard to do much better than Booker.
Yeah, and I like Booker. I'm not sure he's worth number 9, and I'm not sure that he's worth potentially passing on the upside of Miles Turner, but that's not a bad fit at all. It's actually a very good fit because Michael Kidd-Gilchrist could help him develop or help him come along more slowly defensively. And Steve Clifford would be a very good defensive coach for him to help him along on that end.
He has good size. You know, he's 6'6".
Yeah. Yeah, Booker's
I feel like that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, Booker makes a lot of sense for me there, too. It's just a question of talent. For me, I like Booker. I don't love Booker. Another interesting guy there is Kelly Oubre. Like, Kelly Oubre is a very high upside pick at that point. He's got similar outside of the hands, which, you know, are just freaky with Kawhi Leonard. He has very similar dimensions to Kawhi Leonard. I'm not saying that he's going to be Kawhi, but he has that kind of similar upside in that he can attack off the dribble a little bit. He has a developing jump shot. Needs to improve a little bit as ball handler, but he's getting there, and he has that kind of two-way potential that I think would very very much fit in with what Charlotte wants to build around. So that's interesting to me, at least. And if you got him, you might be able to play one of him or Kidd-Gilchrist, maybe at a small ball four, with his, maybe once he learns to shoot the ball a little bit and can help with spacing a little bit more. It's interesting again to me. I don't know who I would take between Kelly Oubre and Devin Booker, even despite the very strong positional fit with Booker and Charlotte. That would be the only saving grace, because I think that Oubre's potential is very high.
One interesting thing about Oubre there for me is, you know, if you look at their track record in drafting the last couple of years, or even going back 3 years or so, they seem to have put a high priority in guys that are just really good athletes.
Yeah.
Kidd-Gilchrist is a really good athlete. Zeller is a really good athlete. Even Vonleh is a pretty good athlete for a guy that big. You know, Biyombo was a really good athlete when they drafted
him. He's a very good statistical athlete, Vonleh.
Right.
I've spoken about his functional athleticism. I don't buy it. But, like, I agree with what you're saying.
And that Ray sort of fits in that respect as well. But
yeah,
you can say the same thing, like, Stanley Johnson or even Booker is a good athlete. There's so many different directions they can go with the pick.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And again, that's why, to me, a trade down for them is interesting, because it's a team that needs a lot of help, that can fill a lot of different positions, and we haven't even mentioned a guy like Frank Kaminsky yet. You mentioned him at the top, but like, we didn't mention him past that. So there's so many different ways they could go that a trade down for more picks or a trade down for an asset and a pick. That interests me a lot from their perspective. And if they have to stay in this pick, maybe Stanley Johnson, maybe Miles Turner, maybe Devin Booker, Kelly Oubre. There's a lot of different options here for them.
And they have the roster room to do a trade down. They only have 9 guaranteed contracts next year. Even if they bring back Al, Henderson, Biyombo, that would put them at 12. So they have some roster flexibility to add multiple pieces so they're not clogged up. They could definitely pull something like that off.
Right. Say you did make the 16, 20, 28, 34 trade with the Celtics, you could package 28 and 34 and maybe move up to 21 or something like that. Like, I'm honestly just spitballing. I don't know, like, again, if teams in the Raptors, Mavericks, Bulls range would want to do that, but it's at least they have interesting options to me in a trade down for a team that is very, like I said, low on talent that I buy. And
yeah,
maybe Rich Cho's different. Maybe Rich Cho has a different feeling on this roster. I'm sure he does, actually, because he's been the one drafting. But for me, it's tough.
Yeah, I would just aggressively explore trade options of all kinds. Up, down, out. They're in such a strange position. I'm not sure what they'd be able to trade out for. You know, what the number 9 pick would fetch.
But I
would explore everything. You know, it's a very mismatched roster where I feel like I've said that so many times on this podcast already, but
Charlotte fans are going to hate us.
Yeah, I'm, it's just a very strange, not in terms of, you know, it doesn't fit. It's just they have a lot of oddly skilled guys where you don't know how they'll play together. Like, they drafted Zeller and Vonleh back to back, but can you ever see that being a starting front court combination? Just
God,
like
no.
Those two guys in the front court.
No. But I think they think that it can be because Vonleh is a very long player. But like I said, I don't buy the functional quick twitch athleticism that he would need to rotate and play center.
But if you're playing for Clifford, it's not as much about functional quick twitch rotating as I would say, you know, cutting off certain swaths of space.
Yeah, that's true. That's a fair point. It's tough. They're in a very
That's why they've been able to build a good defense even without Jefferson.
Yeah, and I think the part of it is that they also they do a really good job of cutting down perimeter penetration. Like, they're one of the better teams in the league, I feel like, at it. Just, and part of that's Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, but Gerald Henderson's a very good defender. And Kemba can do an okay job on point guards, in my opinion. But those two on the wing, they do such a good job that it's really, really tough for guys to even get into the lane. So
here's the question, though. Do you just pretend that Lance doesn't exist at all when
you
make the pick? You know, obviously, they had high hopes for him coming into the year. They gave him a big size contract. They wanted him to have a sizable role, both, you know, defensively in terms of shutting down the wing with Kidd-Gilchrist, and then offensively in terms of sort of sharing the ball handling load with Kemba Walker.
He's 24.
You
don't
pretend he doesn't exist.
No, he's 24 years old. You don't give up on someone with his talent at that. I know.
Right, that's sort of where I was going. He's still young, and then if you're you know, ignoring Lance, then there's no one to do that sort of shared ball handler in the backcourt role. So I think that opens up other options too.
Yeah, I've never been very big on Lance to begin with. Even that last season in Indiana, I thought that he was basically the fifth piece on that team. And he was the fifth piece on that team. Maybe some people would say he's the fourth or third, but I thought he was the fifth most important piece on that team. I think that I think he's overpaid right now. I don't see him ever being more than a sixth man at this point. I'm not sure that, even though he is that young, I just don't love the skill set, and I think he's kind of difficult to build around because you have to find a point guard that can shoot to play next to him if you want him as your spacing option, or if you want him as your secondary ball handler. And you've committed to Kemba, who is, again, like I said, like an okay shooter. He's just not a great one yet. I mean, he's shot 32% from three. He's taken a lot of them. He's a guy that you have to get a hand in his face, but he's not enough of a threat to minimize what you have to do with Lance Stephenson playing next to you.
I don't think it's all that difficult. I do agree, and I overlooked this aspect of it when they signed him, that him next to Kemba is a really bad fit there. A little bit too similar, but I don't think it's too difficult to find someone to play next to him, just like you can find someone to play. Now, he's very, very clearly not James Harden.
To play next to Lance or
to play next to Lance? To play next to Lance. He's very clearly not James Harden, but you could find someone in more of a secondary ball handler role as than the main guy. You can find a point guard who could shoot well enough to stick next to Lance. I don't think that's too difficult.
No, I don't think it's necessarily difficult to find that point guard that can shoot. I just think that it's clear they've committed to Kemba at this point, and I don't think Kemba's that guy.
Yes, agree with that. The fit with Kemba is not good, and for him to have a role on this team, you're going to need to do a good job of staggering their minutes. Basically, Lance should play every minute that Kemba isn't on the floor.
Yeah, and I think that's fair, but you know, Kemba's going to play 30 minutes, so I'm not even sure I want them on the floor together 8-9 minutes together. You know what I mean? Like, I would build this team with the assumption that you try and use Lance as a lowest value point expiring contract in a trade, to try and get something else. Like, if you can move, what, I guess, like, 9 and Lance's contract for a lower pick and a player. You know what I mean?
Well, they also have a team option on Lance after this year.
Right, it's an expiring.
Which I can't imagine.
Yeah.
They'll exercise.
It's
given
partially guaranteed, I believe.
It's a team option. I think it's a flat team option. I don't know how much he gets guaranteed, but I don't think it's a ton either. I don't think it's something that, like, would stop them.
Yeah, it's not letting me click on it. Usually you can. But it's definitely a team option, and it's partially guaranteed. I just don't know how much of that is guaranteed.
Yeah, I mean, it's just very difficult to figure out where this team is going and their perimeter. I would go with something. Yeah, I would go best player available here, whoever they find that to be, or I would aggressively explore a trade down. That's pretty much my two options.
So, Jared, who do you want to take?
Yeah, I would say I'd go in the same direction. I would explore all avenues for a trade, and failing that, for me, I think it comes down to Johnson and Booker. I think Johnson might be the best player, and Booker is probably the best fit, who also is close to being the best player. But I think I'd go with Johnson and just try to figure things out. With him and Kid Gilchrist, I feel like you could defend really well.
Yeah.
On the wing and sort of smaller, you could run small ball with those two guys, and I think that Johnson's shot, you know, he shot better than I expected as a freshman, so
yeah.
I think it could work.
Very good
there
shooter
too.
Off the dribble.
He's not necessarily a stretch four, but he might be, you know, like Zach Lowe wrote about yesterday. A bit of a playmaking for where he can catch the ball and put it on the floor, get into the teeth of the defense, and make things happen. You know, and he could play on the wing as well. So I think he could do a lot of different things there, and he's really good. I like him a lot. He's a guy that I thought could have been a top five pick at some points during the year. You know, Winslow sort of surpassed him in that conversation in terms of, you know, the American guys.
And
I think that worked really well.
Yeah, the catch and shoot numbers are trending in the right direction for him too. I like the fit of him and Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. You could do a lot of stuff on defense with the two of them. I think I probably would have went with Turner, just taking the guy with the highest upside, but Johnson would have been my second choice there. And I like the pick.
I think
I have
also
no problem
you have
with
to
that.
Consider Charlotte is probably not just thinking about the guy with the highest upside. They were a playoff team. Not this year, the year before, and they presumably want to get back to that level. They've been a team that, you know, tries to get that 8 seed if it's possible. They tried to get it this year, even if they started off really poorly. And their defense really ticked up the second half of the season. They were back in the top 5 after January. And I think that Johnson would help both there and in terms of getting their front court a little bit more shooting as well.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that. I just hate this roster. Let's leave.
I think he's right. This is one of my. This is one of my least favorite rosters in the NBA because I'm not a big Kemba guy. I like the one guy I really, and I'm not a big Al Jefferson guy. I like Lance more than most, and I love MKG. I mean, those are pretty much. And I don't know enough about Vonleh to really have an opinion on him at this point, or Hairston, and I haven't seen enough of Zeller either to really fairly state anything, but out of the guys that I kind of feel confident talking about, the only one I really like is MKG.
Yeah, I would sort of love a small ball lineup for a few minute stretches where the front court was MKG, Stanley Johnson, and Zeller. I think it would be really interesting. They could get up and down the floor. It wouldn't be the stretchiest lineup, and, you know, you'd have to be creative to make things work defensively because Zeller's not like a rim protector. He's more of just a space guy. but I think it would be really interesting.
If anyone could make that lineup work without any sort of semblance of rim protection, it's Steve Clifford. This roster has broken me.
Anything else we need to add here before Sam starts crying?
Not from me. Like I said, I think that I would explore every possible trade option. Up, down, out, whatever it is. There's really nobody that would be off the table to me completely.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would assume they probably view Kemba that way, considering the contract they gave him. But I mean, we'll see. I think there are a few different sort of swing positions of the draft where they're going to affect what happens the rest of the way. I think that number three, if we assume the two big guys go one and two, and then I think that the second sort of inflection point comes with Charlotte after, because I feel like there's consensus among, you know, the top two and then the next five or six. So Charlotte is in a really interesting position to swing the way the rest of the draft goes.
Yeah, I think the only person who could maybe slip ahead of any of those guys is maybe Stanley Johnson if someone fell in love with him. But outside of that, I think the first eight guys we have going this draft, I'd be shocked if they weren't the top eight picked.
I think he
could be sort of last year's Aaron Gordon that slips in, you know, where no one necessarily saw him going.
Yeah, I think Turner can be that guy too, depending on medical reports on him.
Good point. And
from all indications, Miles Turner's medical reports are good. From his mouth at least, they're good. He's talked to doctors. He's done a lot of different tests. That's great. I think it's going to matter. It's going to depend on what comes out as far as teams. But you know, he's a guy that can easily slip into that 5 to 7 range if he's healthy and if the teams think they can fix his jump shot or that they can fix his athleticism and the way he moves in space and the way he runs the floor. So yeah. I can't even talk anymore. The Charlotte Bob Nets have broken me.
And on that note, Jared, thank you very much. Appreciate it. That wraps up another edition of the Amateur Hour Podcast Mock Draft.